Okay, we're going to start. I guess I can put that there. Okay, turn to Jeremiah. Gospel of Jeremiah.
Gospel?
I mean the book of Jeremiah. The prophet of Jeremiah. Chapter 15. It is good news, I guess. Some sort. You know, Jeremiah was an incredible guy, and he's sometimes called the crying prophet because, you know, he wrote the book of Lamentations, because he was sad for Israel, because under his watch, God sent him to try to win Israel back to God because they had turned their back on him. And so we see in chapter 15, verse 16, this wonderful verse that you probably all know. It says, "Thy words," referring to God's words, right? "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." And that, you know, and at that time, you know, God's word wasn't, abundant. It wasn't, wasn't readily available like it had been. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." It doesn't mean he took the scroll, put some ketchup on it, put it in a bun and ate it, but rather that he read it and digested it. He took it in as necessary food, so to speak, right? "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." You know, we're called by his name, aren't we?
Yes.
It says that we're his children, and the whole family of heaven and earth is named. It's his family, right? And we have God's word too. But you know, it's very important to understand the joy and rejoicing of his heart was God's word, which means that the joy and rejoicing of his heart was God. You know, because you can't separate God from his word. That's God. That's his heart to us. I want to go back to verse 15 and go through and read the context here because it's really incredible. It says, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me." Hey, God, by the way, here I am, remember me? Did you ever do that? You know, he's going through a tough time. If you read the book of Jeremiah, he went through some really difficult situations and circumstances and all kinds of crazy stuff. He said, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me? Hey, here I am. Don't forget me. And visit me and revenge me of my persecutors." So what's he getting?
Persecution.
You know, people are giving him a hard time. "Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." He said, you know, it's because of you that I've had to deal with these guys. I took a stand on your word because you called me. If you read the first chapter, you know, God sends an angel to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, you know, I'm just a child. I can't do this. And God said, oh, yes, you can. He said, you're my guy. And he said, okay. So then he goes and he does stuff, and he says, oh, hey, God, remember me? I'm the one you called. I told you I couldn't do it, and you said I could, and I'm doing it, and I'm having some problems here. Okay. And then he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." You know, God gave him his word, gave him revelation. He looked at the written scriptures that he had, the writings of Moses and maybe other people, and God's word became the joy and rejoicing of his heart. How did it become that way? Well, he put it there, right? He got it into his brain. He believed the promises of God. And it became the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Yesterday we heard a young lady teach the word. It was incredible. Erin Gilmore, Jean Marie's niece. She is just a dynamic young lady. And one of the things she went to was Samuel. And the first chapter of Samuel where Hannah is praying. And Eli the prophet says, "What are you, drunk?" And she said, "No, I'm just a woman of sorrowful heart because I don't have any children." And, you know, I get, she had, her husband had two wives. She was one. And the other one had lots of children, and she made fun of her and picked on her and you know, persecuted her, basically. And she said, I'm just a woman of sorrowful heart because I'm barren. And Eli said, okay, you're going to have a kid. And then it says, and she was sad no more. Just like that. She didn't have the baby yet. She wasn't even pregnant yet, but it says she was sad no more. What does that mean? It means she took that word to heart. It was the joy and rejoicing of her heart. She believed it. When he said it, it was good as done. And you know what? Anything that God says to us or concerning us is good as done. It's done. It's you know, all we have to do is believe it. Cement it in your heart. Hold on to it. Don't give an inch on God's word. So here we are. It says, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I didn't hang out with the unbelievers and the mockers. You know, I wasn't with those people. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with I was filled with indignation at their unbelief. I just couldn't be with those people. I just couldn't be with them. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Now, is he talking about physical pain and injury? No, he's talking about mental hurt. You know, that the anguish for his people, Israel, how they had turned away from God and mocked God and were just so horrible. Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fall? You know, God, did you forsake me? Did you forget about me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. You know, speak the word, hold it forth. Don't be like them, but if they choose, they can believe and return unto you, which will be returning unto me, God. I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall. You know, I'm going to make you stand and you're going to be impenetrable. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. There's one guy against the whole nation, against the kings and the princes. If you read on, you see that in this book. One time the king took him and put him in a cesspool, a sewer with stinky stuff. And he stood for God. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. And what does he say? Thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Well, how did it become the joy and rejoicing of his heart? He read it, he put it in there, and he held fast to it. It became the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And the first verse we're going to look at is 162. 162. We should read verse 161 while we're here because it's right next door. It says, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Isn't that a great verse?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know what? To joy and rejoice in life has nothing to do with circumstances. Has nothing to do with who's king or president or what the stock market does or who's your friend and who's not your friend and how people treat you. Joy and rejoicing in life has to do with your relationship with God. And that starts with believing his word. Man's basic spiritual problem is what? Integrity of the word, right? It's the integrity of the word. Let's go to Psalm, verse 111. It says in verse 111, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." They are the rejoicing. You know, we all rejoice at different things at times, don't we, in our minds, in our lives, you know. Do you ever really want something and then you get it, you know? You know, your kids grow up and they want a toy and you get it and they joy and rejoice till they break it. we all, you know, you want a new car, you want, you see a pair of shoes that you like or, you know, some kind of clothing, or you want to take a vacation somewhere, you want to see something, you know, and when you get to do it, you know, you're really excited and you have, and it brings joy or, you know, happiness anyway. But to have joy and rejoicing about God's word is all about our relationship with our Father. We heard the manifestations today. How much does God love us? How much does he care for us? How much does he want to do for us? But it's all about us making his word and him the joy and rejoicing of our lives. And it has nothing to do with the circumstances in life. But if God is in the right place in your life, he'll pull you through it. You have to stand fast on his word. You know, you go back and read about Hannah and Samuel, and, you know, she stood fast on God's word in spite of situations. And she prayed to God and sought her answer from God. It says she poured out her heart unto God. And then when Samuel talked to her, God gave him revelation and said, tell her she's going to have a baby. You know, it's just God did that for her. When you read about Jeremiah, you know, how many times did he get persecuted? How many times did he get ostracized or hunted down? You know, in chapter 36, he hides because he gives a scroll to the king and the king burns it. And God tells him to hide, and God hides him away. How about Elijah? Remember, he goes to Ahab and says, you know, because you've turned away from God, it's not going to rain for a long time. And then God hides him. And what does he do? He feeds him. He feeds him. The crows, the ravens bring meat to him every day. You know, what was the joy and rejoicing of Elijah's life? It was God and his word. It's a great thing. Jeremiah's reason for rejoicing, the psalmist's reason for rejoicing, was God's word. God's word informs us, and it gives us the knowledge of God and his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and of God's redemption and forgiveness and sanctification and justification and all the things that he's done for us. And not only that, but it tells us our future, our destiny, all that he will do for us. What does it say in chapter 2 of Ephesians? That it, you know, he'll give us the exceeding greatness of his kindness toward us in the ages to come. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, you have to read chapter 4 and 3 to really get to therefore, but therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing. You know, today, we hear a lot of talk, you know, Christmas time, the holidays. Everybody becomes positive all of a sudden, you know. The Christmas lights go up, the trees go on sale, the stores are packed, and everybody's, oh, this is the season for peace. Even the unbelievers, you know, peace on earth. But that's not really what God was talking about, is it? Because Jesus Christ said, there'll never be peace on earth. It's peace between you and God, between us and God, because we're born again, because God sent his son to remove all the barriers between us and God. And when we believe, there's nothing between us and God except love. That's all. Nothing. We can go to him anytime, any place, under any circumstances or conditions, and talk to him about anything. You know, and the only thing that holds us back is us. Verse 2, by whom? By Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by believing into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access to God. And we stand in his grace, and we can joy and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And you know what it says in Romans 1:18? It says, 8:18 rather. It says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. That's why we can rejoice. You know, we can rejoice because we know the final answer. We know what lies in store for us. You know, there was a stupid thing on the news the other day. Some guy in some town, I can't remember where it was, had a Christmas scene and all that stuff. And next to it, this atheist put up a sign and said, you know, let's have some reason. There's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no angels, there's no this, there's no that. You know, and people got all freaked out. Well, you know what? What does that guy have to look forward to in life? No. He has 70, maybe 80 years and a hole in the ground and a dirt sandwich. That's what he has to look forward to. What do we have to look forward to? A new body, eternity, immortality, forever with the Lord, an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Christ. Wow. What a comparison. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. Chapter 13. It says, I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, charity. Charity being what? The love of God. Right? The love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. Charity suffereth long. And it's kind. You know, it endures, and it's kind. Charity envieth not. You know, I'm not concerned about what other people have. I'm not concerned that, you know, some rich guy has a private jet, or this guy has this, or that guy has that. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, I don't have to puff myself up. I'm a son of God, and he put his Holy Spirit within me. That's all I need. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth, what? In the truth. The love of God rejoices in truth. What's truth? God's word. You know, scientists say, well, truth is facts. You know, what you can prove in the physical realm. Well, speaking in tongues is the proof in the physical realm that we have the reality of Holy Spirit within us and that we have eternal life and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So there. Ha-ha. What a great thing. Let's go back to Romans 15. Rejoice. What do we rejoice in? The truth. Chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of or to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What's that saying? Well, Jesus Christ was a minister. He was the apostle and the high priest, and he was sent to Israel, the circumcision, to confirm, you know, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the patriarchs, and to David. He confirmed all the promises, and the big promise and the main promise was what? That God would send a Messiah. He would send a Messiah, and that Messiah would come by way of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and that's who he was. He was the Messiah, the Christ. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he said, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." Now in the Old Testament, Israel, for the most part, were the only ones that really had anything to rejoice about, if they believed, right? God gave them the oracles of God. He gave them the word. He entrusted them with his word and the promises of the Messiah. They weren't great stewards, but God watched over them and brought it to pass. But one of the things that was promised was, by Abraham would all nations of the earth be blessed, and that the Gentiles would be blessed. Little did we know that we would get the same thing as the Jews, and we would be part of the body of Christ, and we would be joint heirs with Christ and sons of God. So we have a lot to rejoice about. And again he saith, verse 10, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people, with Israel." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him," you know, "praise him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse," the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, "and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." How big a deal is the hope? We abound in the hope, and we rejoice in the hope. And we learn all about that in God's word, which is the truth. And that's where the joy and rejoicing of life really is. And if you're looking somewhere else, you're not going to find it. "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." I'm looking at my Bible, and I got all these little sparkles in here because I was doing Christmas cards the other day, and I had sparkles, and it got on this page. It's really cool. It's like God emphasized this section to me. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God." Pretty great, huh? That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We have a lot to joy and rejoice about. What a great God. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 3. Talks about joy and rejoicing a lot in Philippians if you go through it. We're going to look at a couple of them. But chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." So who do you rejoice in? The Lord. And that's referring to Jesus Christ. "To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And then there's a little sidelight here. It says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." It's not referring to, you know, Great Danes or boxers or German shepherds, but people that would, you know, talk behind your back or attack you from behind. You ever have that happen? Somebody talk behind your back, talk about you? Or attack you in some way? "Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." Concision would be the Jews that were coming around saying you have to be circumcised. You have to adhere to the law. "For we are the circumcision." We, us, the believers, those that are born again, "we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, now the word rejoice in verse 1 is the word for rejoicing, to delight, to rejoice. The word rejoice in chapter 3 is the word to boast, to brag about. We brag about Christ Jesus. We don't brag about ourselves, but we can brag about Christ Jesus. We have a great Savior, don't we? We needed a great Savior. Okay, let's go back to chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, that's Paul writing to the Philippians, and he said, I pray for you. And he says, it's a joy. It's my joy to pray for you. What a cool thing to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you pray for people, when you make intercession, which is we are commanded to pray in the Spirit for all saints in Ephesians. And it says here, he did it with all joy. You know, it shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be a task. It should be a joy. It should be a joy because why? Because it's God's will. And God's will is God's word, and God's word is to be our joy and rejoicing. Wow, how did I put that together? That was an accident. Anyway, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is... Okay, let's go back and look at the context. It says, verse 13, Paul at this point writes this epistle. He's in jail. Okay, he's in the Praetorium in Rome. Praetorium is a military barracks, and it's where they kept prisoners in Rome. It's attached to the palace of Caesar. And he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You know, he was in bonds, and that's a figure of speech. It has two meanings. He was physically in jail, but he was a slave for Jesus Christ. He was a doulos. And so he was bound by his commitment to Jesus Christ. And so everybody in the palace knew it. They knew what he was there for because he preached the word of God. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They saw my boldness and my commitment, and so they became stronger and stronger to preach the word. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So people are out there, and some people were preaching the word of God because they loved Jesus Christ and they saw the commitment of Paul. And there were others out there that were being sarcastic. You know, well, you know, yeah, Jesus Christ, yeah, he rose from the dead. Pfft, how stupid, you know, like that. And so what does Paul say? He said they're doing it so they think they're adding burden. They're adding to my burdens. They're putting more weight on my shoulders. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of God, of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He said, I don't care about those other guys, but Christ is being preached, and that's what I rejoice in. What a great thing. What a great attitude, huh? Paul didn't care where he was, what he was doing, what the circumstances were. He had joy and rejoicing, just like Jeremiah. Chapter 2 of Philippians. I told you it was in Philippians a lot. 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Did you know that?
Yep.
You ever get that little, huh, I should do this, or something working in me, I should speak the word to that guy, or I should, you know, take a stand, or I should pray for that person. Or, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, there's no reason to whine. And, you know, at times we all get on these jags, don't we? Well, you know, remember what Jeremiah said in the beginning? God, did you forget me? God didn't forget him, did he? And he won't forget you either. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You shine as a light when you stand for God. You shine. You know, walk in love. You know, when you're at work and somebody comes up and complains, say, well, God loves you. You know, somebody in school says, wow, what a jerky thing. Say, well, you know, God's bigger than that. You know, when you're somewhere else and something happens, you know, you can speak for God, can't you? You can put a smile on your face when everybody else is frowning. Now, so it says, that you may be blameless, harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And you know what? No matter where you live, no matter what time in history, it's a crooked and perverse nation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care where you are. You know, back here, when he was in the Roman Empire, you read about the Roman Empire, you would think, man, we live in paradise. Because they were mean. They were ruthless. And it wasn't an easy life. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know? Holding forth the word of life. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith or believing, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. You know, we joy and rejoice with one another as we stand on God's word. You know, as we pray for each other, we do it with joy. We think about the hope and we deal with things in life. We joy in the hope and the glory that shall be revealed in us. We have joy and rejoice. We read God's word and we see the promises of God. We see the perfection and the greatness of God and all he's done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. We can truly joy and rejoice in this time. And every time. Again, you know, Jesus Christ is not the reason for the season. He's the reason for life, for every day of life. And he's the reason for eternity and eternal life. Let's go to chapter 4. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord how much? Always. And again, I say rejoice. And you know, when we're complaining and we're saying, well, you know, I'm not very blessed. That's not rejoicing in the Lord, is it? No, that's complaining. You know? I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how your day started off. You had a flat tire. You ran out of gas. Whatever. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Good song. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Joy to the world, right? Our joy and rejoicing is God, his word, his son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3. This is a great little section here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which means praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what? People talk about hope. Remember 8 years ago, presidential election, hope and change. Never said what the hope was, but it was hope and change. And, you know, and politicians always talk about hope. People have to have hope, blah, 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 blah. Somebody said, well, you know, this guy got elected, so hope is dead. Well, my hope's not dead because I have a lively hope. And there's nobody on this earth that can take my hope away. There's nobody that can kill my hope because God promises that Jesus Christ is coming back to get me. And I have the victory in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Right? So he has begotten us unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is our guarantee that we're going to be either changed or raised, and we're going to put on immortality. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, what a great thing, because if you get an earthly inheritance, you can blow it. Maybe some of you have gotten an inheritance and you spend it. I spent mine on my kids. Not that I got very much, but what I got, I spent on my kids. Rich people, sometimes people get millions of dollars and they blow it all. You know, they just spend it. They waste it. It fadeth away. Or it's not pure. It's not undefiled. It's defiled. You know, maybe it was gotten in an ill-gotten way, or maybe it's, you know, got strings attached or something like that. Who knows? Our inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, that's us, we are kept by the power of God through believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, when we got born again, we were saved. We had salvation. And whenever we have a need now, God will provide salvation. But we have a final, complete, last, perfect salvation when Christ comes back. Wherein we greatly rejoice. We don't just rejoice, but we greatly rejoice. How great is that salvation? How great is that hope? How great is that inheritance? Tell me you don't have something to rejoice in. Some of you are going to get on a complaining jag next week, and you're going to remember this teaching, and you're going to feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Just start to rejoice. Just change your mind. Get thankful. Wherein you greatly rejoice, that though now for a season, you know, while we're alive on this earth, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your believing, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, we go through stuff and we stand on God's word. You know what? We're getting rewards. We're getting rewards. Rejoice in that. Whom having not seen Jesus Christ, anybody have seen Jesus Christ? Ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. Isn't that great? Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law, the word of God, is perfect. Remember, we start out, thy word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Remember that? Great thing to remember. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter what your upbringing is. And if you learn the word of God, it will make you wise. Mm-hmm. True wisdom is only from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The statutes of the Lord are right or righteous. Rejoicing the heart. There it is again. You want your heart to rejoice? Put the word in it. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Opens up your eyes, and it does. The fear or the respect and reverence of the Lord is, the word there, clean, means pure, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're just righteous altogether. They're never wrong. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, gold represents riches and wealth, right? And honeycomb represents the sweetness of food and the things we have. And it's things you don't have to really work to get, right? The bees do all the work. You just collect the honey. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Wow, great. It's not just reward. It's great reward, you see? The word of God should be the joy and rejoicing of your heart. And, you know, it's the word of God that lets us know all the other stuff. It lets us know about Jesus Christ. It lets us know about the hope in our inheritance and eternal life. It's the hope that gives us the ability to endure. And no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is in life, we can joy and rejoice because God is such a wonderful and mighty God, and he'll never let us down, okay? So, Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. We thank you for what a great God you are. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.